Hello, this is Andrea Maravich from the Pennsylvania Child Welfare Resource Center, and we are back with another podcast installment from our colleagues at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Rachel Berger. She is a child abuse pediatrician at the hospital, and our topic is safe sleep guidelines for infants. Let's start with this. What is safe sleep, and why is it so important?
Well, safe sleep is making sure that infants sleep in a way which protects them from not being able to breathe and from suffocating. When we talk about safe sleep, we talk about the ABCs, infants being alone, on their back, and in a crib. Safe sleep is so important because it's the leading cause of death for infants once they leave the newborn nursery. It is more common than death from child abuse. And perhaps most importantly, it is completely preventable. So when caseworkers are in a home caring for or evaluating an infant, the risk of unsafe sleep is probably the greatest risk that they're seeing in that home in terms of the risk of death for that infant.
I know when I was an infant, I co-slept with my mother. At the time, at least, I don't think it was atypical for an infant to co-sleep with his or her parents. To my knowledge, I have never known a baby who died because of unsafe sleep. So let me ask this. Why does this affect some infants who sleep in the same bed as their parents, but not others?
Well, clearly not all babies who sleep with their parents or co-sleep are going to die, just like most people who smoke don't die of lung cancer, or most infants who aren't in a car seat won't die in a car crash. So the risk of dying from unsafe sleep is probably due to a complicated interaction between multiple factors, which include the environment, developmental vulnerability, and genetics. So let me explain these. When we talk about environmental risk, we're talking about the risk from things in an infant's environment, such as smoke from parents smoking, drugs or alcohol, overheating, so being in a home that's too warm, sleeping on a couch or sleeping on a baby's stomach or sleeping with pillows or sleeping with bumpers. All those things in an infant's environment can increase the risk of dying from unsafe sleep. When we talk about genetic vulnerability, we know that children don't die of unsafe sleep generally over the age of one. So there's something about the very young infant, and most infants who die from unsafe sleep are actually under the age of 3 months. And so in that age period, we know that infants don't roll yet, and so they can't get away from an environment, a sleep environment, that's not safe. So they can't roll to get out of a place that they can't breathe. There also may be some difference in the developing brain. So if an adult is exposed to too much carbon dioxide, we increase our rate of breathing or we get out of that environment. But for some reason, infants do not seem to be as sensitive to having an increased carbon dioxide in their environment. So they may not know that they need to breathe more deeply or more quickly or get out of that environment. And they may not be able to get out of the environment, as I mentioned, because they cannot roll yet. And then we have the genetic predisposition. Clearly, there are many infants that sleep in a very unsafe environment, and they are of an age that puts them at vulnerable in that vulnerable period, but they don't die. And so there probably is also a genetic component. We haven't found a gene. However, we believe that there is some type of genetic predisposition. We don't know if our own children or the children who we are providing services to have this unique combination of risk factors. Every child has to sleep in a sleep environment every time they sleep.
The American Academy of Pediatrics released revised guidelines for safe sleep in infants in October 2016. Can you please take us through these guidelines?
Sure. So these guidelines include many of the things we've just discussed. They focus on the importance of infants sleeping alone, without any adults, without any siblings, and with no other children. They focus on sleeping on the back and specifically discuss not using side sleepers or other commercially available devices that prevent the baby from sleeping on their back. They also emphasize the need for back sleeping for all infants. Many parents will sleep their children on their stomach because they have reflux. All infants should sleep on their back. And then they emphasize the use of a crib, which is the C of the ABC. Specifically, the AAP guidelines discusses how unsafe couches are, or chairs. Those are the most dangerous places for infants to sleep. The AAP guidelines also discuss rooming in, which is when infants are sleeping in the same room as a parent, but not in the same bed. This is one of the more controversial aspects of the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines, because although rooming in may decrease the risk of unsafe sleep, it also makes it less likely that parents will be able to sleep through the night without too many distractions. And parents who do not get a good night's sleep may be at increased risk of depression or frustration because they are overtired. And so the rooming in recommendation of the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines has been one of the most discussed parts of this guideline. The guideline also recommends pacifier use if it's already being used, but not to start a pacifier in a baby who doesn't already need it. And most importantly, the guideline focuses on the importance of safe sleep everywhere and every time a baby sleeps. When they're at home, when they're away from home at a relative's, when they're in a daycare setting, and every time they sleep, whether it's overnight or for a nap.
We've talked about safe sleep, what it is, why it's so important to reinforce, but we haven't talked much about SIDS or sudden infant death syndrome. Can you please take a few minutes to talk about SIDS, especially what it is and what we should know?
So SIDS is actually a term we don't use anymore, or professionals don't use anymore, and it stood for sudden infant death syndrome. What we now know is that many of the children who died from what we used to call SIDS actually probably died of unsafe sleep. Although many people will say they don't know of any infant who died of unsafe sleep, many people do know of an infant who died of SIDS. And in the mid-1990s was the first time that our country, both through the National Institutes of Health and the American Academy of Pediatrics, officially started the Back to Sleep campaign. At that point, the rate of SIDS dropped by about 50% over the years right after that. We have not been able to decrease that rate of unsafe sleep deaths since that initial drop of 50%. But what we've also learned is that back to sleep, which is what that initial campaign is, was not enough. As we talked about, just sleeping on the back is not enough. Infants also need to be in a crib, in a safe place, by themselves. What we've also known is since the 1990s, when this drop occurred, the disparities in the socioeconomic status and the race of infants who die of unsafe sleep, or what we now call SUDI, sudden unexplained infant death, are of lower socioeconomic status and more likely to be African American. We don't entirely understand why the risk of unsafe sleep deaths is greater in infants of lower socioeconomic status and those who are African American. But what we do know is that all infants need to sleep in safe environments. So just to reiterate, the term SIDS doesn't really exist anymore. And the term that medical professionals now use is SUDI, or sudden unexplained infant death. And most of these deaths are likely due to unsafe sleep.
Thanks for clarifying that, Dr. Berger. I was unaware that SIDS was no longer an applicable term. Thank you again for the clarification. Last but not least, are there any resources you might recommend for us to further the conversation that we've had today?
So the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines and some associated videos which the American Academy of Pediatrics put out are part of the reference list for this podcast, and I highly recommend them.
Thank you very much for your time and information, Dr. Berger. We appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. This concludes our second podcast with our colleagues at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC. Stay tuned for more episodes in the near future. To learn more about the Pennsylvania Child Welfare Resource Center and to check out our other podcasts, visit us at pacwrc.pitt.edu. Thank you.